That's right. He's even good Tuesday nights. That's right. I'll make sure you get one tonight. First one out of the shoot. Yes, sir. On the other page. I had some pictures, but I ran out of room. There's two of you. You can pass one down there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No fill in the blanks. I'm sorry. I should have put some in there just for the fun of it. I know. Here you go, bro. I got an air button. All right, critical spirit. And again, I'm just going in order. And it's really awesome how God always, he's always on time. He's always in control. He's always got his act together, even if we don't have our act together. Amen? How many times have you seen God have his act together when you were still trying to figure out? Yeah. All right, here, let's see here. We're talking about critical spirit. Now the first night was pretty tight. I have to admit it was very, very tight. But now we're gone beyond the critical part. We're going to what God's looking for us to, how he's looking for us to be. And I still put a lot of stuff up here. I want you to have it so you can take it and study it and learn about it. It's so important that we learn not to have that critical spirit. And it's so easy to have a critical spirit. You know, I had somebody one time that was very critical. Somebody in my family was very critical. There were several people in my family. Their children were getting pregnant out of wedlock. And this person in my family kept saying, that, well, they're obviously, I thought their parents had raised them right, but obviously they hadn't. And this person was very close to me, and I said, you don't need to talk like that. And they said, nah, if they'd been raised right, they wouldn't have got pregnant out of wedlock. And I said, don't talk like that. I said, once that child goes out there, unless the mama's going to follow him right out there, and the daddy follow him on dates and put a chain to him, like Bethany, I can't chain Bethany. She's 24 years old. She told me, I know the famous last words. I know what I'm doing. Dad, trust me. And I said, Bethany, listen to Dad. Okay. And she kept saying, trust me, Dad. And now she's going, okay, Dad, what was that you were talking about? Okay. Well, the same way, this person kept talking about this person. I had two or three cousins and some other people down Possum Track. And it was almost like an epidemic. And this person just kept running their mouth. And I said, you don't need to do that. Well, about 6 months later, this kinfolk of mine called me to their house. And so I went into their house and said, what is it? And they showed me a paper from the health department. And it was about their daughter. And this is how their daughter decided to break it to her. Their daughter just took a paper that said, positive, pregnancy positive, and laid it on the kitchen table and walked away. And this person stopped me. As a matter of fact, I was even working shift work at the time, and it was on second shift. And I got home about 1 o'clock in the morning. They were waiting for me, called me, and I ran all the way. It was just wild. So I get in there, and they said, what does that mean? I said, that means you're going to be a grandma. And they said, but she's not married. I said, well, you know, maybe they neglected to tell them that it was impossible to get pregnant without being married. And the person said, but I raised her right. And I said, I know, I watched. You did a fine job. I said, but once she gets out of this house, all bets are off. Especially when you got those slick talking guys talking to him. So that same person that was talking junk about all of her nieces and all of her cousins and aunts, She quit talking junk about him. And I was there the night that baby was born, and I saw the hurt in their eyes. But after that baby was born, all of a sudden the hurt went away, and it was just joy and joy and joy and joy. And it's been a lot of years, and it's still been joy. But that person, instead of being a critic with critical spirit, after they participated, they became instead an advocate for this. And they, over the years, have helped many, many people that were in this kind of situation. So, again, we have to watch the critical spirit, because it will get us. It'll get us. It'll get us. It'll get us. You know, Daniel, again, today was apologizing. I said, no, son, you were just getting me ready for Bethany. And I said, matter of fact, I said, Bethany, ever since we've got her, from day one, there was always problems, because she had been in trouble. She had been the most abused kid in three counties. She was in bad shape, and God really did a work with her. And God had done some awesome stuff through our love for her and through His power. But I said, it seems like every year there was always something different. I said, but this year she decided to quit swinging for the fence, and she just went ahead and put it over it. And Daniel laughed and said, I know, Dad, I'm sorry. I said, well, Daniel, it's life, buddy. We can't run from it. It's life. It's life. And I said, you just got to accept it and love her and move on. Because, buddy, it's only by the grace of God you didn't get wound up, you know, in there. Or me, myself, or any of us. Go ahead. Yeah. We got her. We were her foster parents when she was four. We adopted her when she was five. And of course, there's some people think, well, she was so young she won't remember the abuse. But let me tell you something. In counseling studies that I've done, first off, once you go through complex trauma, it reshapes the brain. So because it reshapes the brain, the way the brain acts and reacts, you can retrain it, but there's still always that possibility, you know. And so, and the younger they are, they found out the younger they are, sometimes the worse it does on them. And it's even possible a baby in its mama's womb. If the mama is subjected to severe trauma, that baby has a problem with that trauma also. And after that baby's born, and years later, that baby may have to deal with some kind of help in that trauma. So trauma's tough stuff. And her stepdad broke her face to the point, you saw the operation she had. Her stepdad broke her face to the point, slammed her in a wall to where this all stopped growing. And it took, the first operation was at four. The next operation was at six. And then she had operation. I'm trying to think of all the operations, but then she got the braces because the doctor said, I can't do anything. It's too damaged. And so they started putting braces on her mouth. And tried to get her head aligned, trying to get aligned this stuff because she was like this, because the growth plate was broke. And so it took 4 or 5 years of braces. And when her skull stopped growing, then they went in and cut it with a buzzsaw and slid her top jaw up over a half an inch. And she got titanium holding it together. And then they put bone up in her face because she had no place to put a nose. And so then they come in a year later and build her a nose and fixed her nose back. And so she's been through some things, been through a lot of stuff. That does not excuse what she's done at all. And I'm not giving it as an excuse. I'm just saying is, you know, again, once you've been through stuff like that, it helps you to understand and to help other people going through it. So again, That's not giving her a free card. No. I'm just saying is she doesn't think like DC and Daniel. She doesn't respond like DC and Daniel. And sometimes she can be too understanding or too clingy. And that one girl had her so convinced that she was the only one that loved her that she got her in all this mess. Okay, but now Bethany knows, and Bethany says, I know who loves me. And so, matter of fact, we sit down and said, okay, let's talk who loves you. And we started naming them off. And as we started naming off, once we got past the first two hands, then we started naming people off in this church. And she started crying. And said, who in this church loves you? And the very first two people she said was Billy and Dorothy. And then she started talking about all of y'all. She named off y'all. You know, and she said, you know what? I got a lot of people that love me. And I said, we're with you, girl. Yeah, you messed up, but we're with you. But here, let's get over here. I'm getting off of the subject here. Yeah, oh yeah. So here we are. Circumcised Jewish believers unjustly criticized Peter for daring to fellowship with the uncircumcised. Have you ever been criticized for talking to folks that didn't go to church? Have you ever been criticized? Has anybody ever come to you with your own child and say, well, if they were my child, and that child might be 17, 18 years old, if they were my child, I'd have them in church. I'd beat them all the way to church. Oh, really? Yeah, let's try it. Yeah. Or why are you talking to those people? You know, Jesus did. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Okay? The issue of circumcision, was it necessary for salvation, created division in the early church. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the uncircumcised believers criticized him, Acts 11 and 2. Criticism, criticos, literally means able to discern or skilled in judging. So now, think about this. Able to discern or skilled in judging. Criticism has two different meanings. Number one, speaking fairly with discernment in regard to merit or favor, like a literary critic is expected to give a fair critique by accurately analyzing, judging, and reporting. It's sort of like you can tell the tree by the fruit it bears. You can judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Then the bad one is, speaking unfairly with trivial or harsh judgments, a person with a critical spirit gives unfair criticism by fault-finding, nitpicking, and quibbling. So now, the Bible stresses the important part of our right and wrong words. The tongue has power of life and death, Proverbs 18:21. Now, here it is. We've been talking about the critical. Now we're going in to where God wants us. So now, we've been talking about Job and talking about his three friends and how the three friends came. And they started out good. Matter of fact, while they sat there with him and loved on him and waited, they were doing good. You know what the problem happened? Is when they opened their mouth. Isn't that something? A lot of times we'd be a whole lot better off if we just didn't open our mouth. Here it goes. So what is encouragement? You know, after Eliab's speech, Job replies in his own defense, and he's expressing a need for sincere encouragement instead of wounding words. Because now these guys are hurting him. They're beating him up. They're telling him, if you had lived right before God, this wouldn't be happening. Obviously, there's something wrong in your life, and God's punishing you for it. All this stuff, they're going on back and forth. And he said, my brothers, in Job 6:15, he says, my brothers are as undependable as intermittent streams, as the streams that overflow. Now, this is some heavy stuff, because you're talking about now, I mean, he's comparing the stuff he knew back then. I'm pretty sure now we would say something like, my brothers are as undependable as a car that only cranks every third time. Or as a garden full of weeds. You know, you can't even get your stuff out. So Job, his friends increase his burdens rather than help relieve them. Have you ever had somebody increase your burden versus relieve them? Now I'm going to ask a hard one, and I'm guilty. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Have you ever tried to help somebody and increase their burdens rather than help them? I have. I'm sorry that I can say that, but yeah, I have. God showed me, and once God showed me, I try my best not to do that again. But early on, in my early Christian experience, I thought it was my duty to pull out the sword and cut off the ear. You know what I'm saying? That's right. That is the most awesome response to that. That's right. I couldn't put it back on. And so instead of increasing the burdens rather than help relieve them, he further responds, now you two have proved to be of no help. You see something dreadful and are afraid. Job 6:21. So now in a truth, and I want you to think about this, in truth, from our very earliest of years, I mean the absolute earliest of years, we've all yearned for approval. We've all cried out for encouragement, haven't we? There was a man that went, I know I told you this, the man went to his door one day, and the neighbor's dog from across the street was sitting there with his paper in his mouth. The man's paper, he'd gone out there on the sidewalk and picked it up and brought it to the man. So the man saw the dog sitting there with his paper in his mouth. He went, grabbed it beside him, he had some treats by the door. He picked up a treat and then gave the dog a treat and said, nice boy. The next day he comes back, the dog's at his door again, but this time he's got 11 papers. he'd gone all around and got all he could get more treats. Amen. So again, we all yearn and we all need encouragement. Tell somebody we need encouragement. The Bible says, actually, the Bible says, you know, let me tell you this. Think about this. When we learn to write, our hearts cry out, Mommy, look at what I drew. Think about it. When we learn to swim or play baseball, our hearts cry out, Daddy, look here. Daddy, look at me. And just as children need encouragement, adults need encouragement too. But not just occasionally. The Bible says we need encouragement regularly. Matter of fact, Hebrews 3:13, it tells us that but exhort or encourage one another daily, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, at least any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another daily. Encouragement means one person inspiring another person with comfort, counsel, and confidence. Think about it. So encouragement is just not a that a boy. Although that a boys are nice sometimes. But when you get older, it gets to the point where that a boys don't mean a whole lot. Well, you know, I've got to the point now that if I hear something like you can sure chop that garden good, I'm thinking they want me to chop this garden. And they're going to walk away. You can sure mow that lawn good. Yeah, really. But, yeah. Encouragement means one person inspiring another person with comfort, counsel, and confidence. Think about it. You know, I walk up to people all the time and I hear them doing something, hear them saying something. I walk up to them and I go, you know what? That was awesome. And they go, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, I didn't say you knew what you were doing. I just said that was awesome. You know, or I'll say, Linda, you sure look beautiful today. And she'll go, look at this. I haven't put on any makeup. I'm wearing jeans and a T-shirt. I said, I didn't say you were ready for Miss America pageant. I said, you were beautiful. I used to tell my boys, I said, boys, if you want a beautiful woman, find one that's beautiful with and without makeup. That's a pretty woman. I said, if you get one only Maybelline can help, you're in trouble when Maybelline's not around. What's that? That's right, ugly to the bone. All righty then. So look, so here we go. Encourage literally means to cause another to be confident. To cause another to be confident. I had a grandbaby. I had one of my grandbabies. I'll just let them remain nameless because there's a whole bunch of them. Matter of fact, I've had two or three of them come to me and say, Pawpaw, will you teach me how to play softball? And I said, your daddy's know how to play softball. They said, yeah, you taught our daddies. Now, can you teach us? And so what that was telling me is they wanted Pawpaw's years of wisdom. and calmness versus daddy, can't you get this right? Because when I was, and as a matter of fact, I'm about to try and teach him how to play, and this year Daniel come and say, where's the man that taught us how to play? So obviously they've taken your brain out and stuck somebody else's in there. That's not the same man that taught us. But people want to be encouraged. They want to be made to feel confident. The prefix in means to cause or to be. Encouraged means confidence. So the encourager causes others to have confidence to do what needs to be done and to make needed changes. So think about this thing now. There's a lot of times all people are waiting for is just somebody, whether you believe it or not, some people are just waiting for a little push. Linda and I were watching, we love to watch National Geographic and the Animal Planet, watch all these animals and all this stuff. It's just so awesome to watch. And we were watching the wood duck last night. And the wood duck was up in the tree and laid her eggs, and the eggs hatched, and all these little bitty wood ducks come and stood at the edge of that big old tree, wailing up in the air. And I kept telling Linda, I've seen a commercial, that duck jumps out of that tree. And she goes, that duck didn't jump out of that tree. What are you drinking? I said, I'm not drinking anything. The duck jumped out of the tree. And so she finally saw it. She says, oh, it did jump out. But where did it land? I said, I don't know. They won't finish the commercial. And so last night we got a chance to see it. And those little ducks watched their mama jump out of that tree. And they went about 20 foot and landed in the water. And so here comes those little wood ducks. They just got down on them. And when they jumped out of the tree, they got down fast. And they're going all around, and then they land, and they pop up straight up, and then they're just having them a little ball, little wood ducks. You know, and I was thinking all they needed was a little encouragement. And they jumped out of that tree 20 feet. How many people do you think around you could really benefit from you just giving them one encouraging word? Maybe not jumping out of the tree at 20 feet, but how many people do you think could really benefit? Because, you know, you think people might not care what you think, or they may not think that they really think much of what you have to say. But you know what? There's a lot of times, you know, I've gone up to people before and I said, you know what? That is probably one of the best whatever that was going on. And I weren't making it up. That's one of the best things I've seen of somebody your age. Or man, that was so awesome. Man, I was encouraged just listening and hear him say, you know what? Nobody's ever told me that. Yes, he does. Okay. So the Lord encouraged Joshua, be strong and very courageous, and lead the Israelites to in the land God promised to give them. So again, the Bible says we all, y'all say all. Then say that means me. That means me. The Bible says we all should be encouragers. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Therefore, encourage, admonish, exhort one another, and edify, strengthen, and build up one another, just as you are doing. So encouragement here also translated from the Greek word paraklesis. Now, paraklesis, that is almost the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is paraklesis. So you got the paraklesis. So what they're telling us to do is, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit comes along beside us and he guides us and he comforts us and he's there to strengthen us and he helps us and he shows us and he's there. And God says, I want y'all to do the same thing. Get along beside somebody. Let them feel some, you know, call to one's aid, give comfort and give counsel. Para means beside. Kaleo means to call. So we are to come alongside and to comfort others. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete. See, there's a difference there. The paraclete, our comforter, our counselor, our advocate. And so we are to walk alongside and encourage people. They took a man and they stuck him in ice water. They took off his shoes, took off his socks. They put him in a pair of shorts. They stuck him in a bucket of ice. He lasted 5 seconds. Came out. They took the same man and put him in a bucket of ice, and everybody stood around him and said, "You can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. Come on now, we can do this." The same guy that was in there for only 5 seconds stayed in there for a minute. Think about it. We can encourage one another. You know, you say, "Well, I don't have any great gifts." What about telling somebody they're doing a good job? Does that take a lot of great gifts to tell them, "Hey, you're doing a good job"? Or watch this one. "I'm praying for you." Or what about this one? "You know, when I heard you sing or when I heard this and that, I really felt comfort inside. That was so assuring. It helped me." I had somebody today. I did a funeral a long time ago, and I had somebody today, out of clear blue, text me. They were thinking about that funeral, and they texted me. Of course, God knew, because it felt I needed to hear this, you know what I'm saying? But they said, you'll never know how God used you to bring comfort to my heart." Now, this is way on back. Do you reckon, and they didn't tell me that at the funeral, way on back, I know the Holy Spirit was talking to them today and said, "You know, David could use this right now." You know, they don't know what's going on, but, you know, go ahead. And so again, they just said, "You know what?" And all they said was, they didn't say, "You know, you did blah, 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 blah." They just said, "I thank God because what you said brought so much encouragement to my hurting heart, my grieving heart." And so again, you can encourage people. It's so simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. It doesn't take some kind of degree. You can have more degrees than a thermometer and still miss it. It's not the degrees that get it. It is simply the Holy Spirit does that. He comes along beside you. You can do it. You know, back in the day, they had the Holy Spirit going beating us down all the time. Go to church, get beat down, and go out, and you feel like you've been beat to death. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit loves us and encourages us. And when we do wrong, now he'll take you to the woodshed. You do wrong, you're going to go to the woodshed. But you know what? A loving Father is going to take you to the woodshed. Okay? I didn't say beat you to death like Bethany getting her face caved in. I'm talking about correction. Okay? So now, going back though, how hard is it? Just think about this in your own mind. Just keep thinking in your mind when you're watching somebody do something and say, "That was a good job. That sounded good. Man, you're looking good today." You know, you done something. Look, and even something like this, something as simple as, "Well, you know what? I really like the way you wear your hair." Simple stuff. I try to find something about everybody and try to say something good, because you know what? You never know how bad that day they've been having, and that one little compliment could wind up changing their entire day because you encourage them. Remember, it's not a compliment, it's encouragement. There's a difference. Look for something legitimate and encourage them. Don't just pop out of clear blue sky and say, you know, something that makes absolutely no sense. Find something. I try to take the first few seconds when I see somebody, especially if they're doing an activity, then of course I've got concrete activity, but if they not doing activity, I can at least watch. And if I see something that looks, you know, try to compliment them in some way, because you may make their day, literally. All right? Jesus said, "The Father will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, shall teach you all things. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I was riding down the road today, and I said, "Lord, I'm definitely not perfect, but you are. Lord, I definitely don't have all the answers, but you do. Lord, I can't be with my family members every single minute, but you can. So they're in your hands, Lord. If somebody's going to stay up all night and worry, let it be you, because you're up anyway." Amen? Again, we can encourage ourselves. I was encouraging myself riding down the road. It's okay. If you're an authentic Christian, consider this. The Holy Spirit has the power to comfort and counsel you to change, because all true Christians have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. That's fine. You just you know what? I've done it. You know, I told somebody one time. I told somebody that was on the praise team. They said, "Well, they're not praising." And I said, "Dude, it's not your responsibility. If they're praising, not your responsibility to lead and praise." I said, "You're not responsible for everybody out there. If they want to praise, let them praise. If they want to sit there like knots on a log, then sit there like knots on a log." I said, "Matter of fact, I said some folks. Here's how they praise. Some folks are like this. That's right. Everybody's different. Some people do like this. Some people tap a foot. If you don't see that person up jumping, running around, it's okay because they still can be praising. You watch me and Linda. Linda's like a little sprinkler system. So gorgeous, just beautiful sprinkler system. And me, I'm like a hose with the end cut off. Hey, it's okay. Everybody's different. It's all right. So now, I know, so y'all didn't used to see me stand up and play the bass. I sat down for years and played the bass. And then the guys got me standing up. So now you get to see me doing what I did sitting. But the only people saw me do it last time before was the piano players and the praise team. You know, nobody else saw it. Now everybody gets to see it. Yeah. And then you also see DC, who is very much similar. Daniel's more subdued, but DC's more like Dad. You know, I look over and I think, that boy getting down today. And then he'll look over and say, "Dad, you were getting down today." I said, "Oh, I wasn't even paying attention to me." Okay. The very presence of the Spirit of God is dwelling. You are empowered by. Think about this. You say, "How can I encourage somebody?" Listen to me. I want you to hear this again and again and again. The very presence of the Spirit of God dwells within you. Wow. Isn't that awesome? The very presence of the Spirit of God. You are empowered to be an extension of the Comforter's ministry. There's a supernatural power of God that can work through us to inspire others who need to change or to have courage to change. You know, it's amazing how you walk along and you see somebody and you just have this odd feeling to tell them something. You tell them, you know, something sometimes really kind of out there. You go, "Well, you know, I was just sitting there and I felt the need to tell you that you know, whatever." And they'll go, "Wow, I needed to hear that, Dave, because I was just wondering, God, am I even making an impact?" And here it goes. So, here's the sad part. Here's the critical spirit. I wasn't going to let you get away without having something that was going to be kind of tight. So here we go. If you sit in judgment of someone else, the exercise of a critical spirit may actually prevent the very changes you wish to see. Think about it. If you got a child, you got a spouse, you got a coworker, and you know they need to change, but you're being critical, do you know you could actually be throwing up a roadblock? They need to change. They need to change. They need God to help them. But if you have a critical spirit toward them, you can block, you can hinder the change. So it's better to back off. There's the known presence of God and there's the presence of God. You know, we asked Bethany when she was in jail, "Bethany, do you know God's with you?" She says, "I don't feel him." I said, "You don't have to feel him. He's here." She said, "I've let him down." I said, "Well, you still, he's here." There's the presence of God and there's the known presence of God. And right now, what's going on in your life has helped you, is put up a wall, a barrier. But God's still here. He's still here. And if you through his help pull down that wall, you'll feel him. You'll know his presence is here. Same way, going in there land blasting would not have helped. Not a bit. All right. So now, there's only one lawgiver and one judge. The one who is able to save and to destroy. But you, I love this, James 4 and 12. See, if Peter wrote the book of James, people probably wouldn't have read it. Because if you realize this thing, James is the New Testament version of Proverbs. James has some awesome stuff. But James was an apologist. James would take and would reason the stuff out. And so he's talking some heavy-duty stuff, but he's doing it in such a way as, because he's an apologist, you welcome it. Now, Peter was an evangelist. Peter wouldn't have said it that calm. Peter would have, thrown fire out there. But James comes in here, New Testament book of Proverbs. He's coming through here. And all this is going on. So it's like Hebrews is the New Testament book of Leviticus. When I say the New Testament book of Leviticus, I don't mean it's actually Leviticus. I mean in the Old Testament, what Leviticus does for the Old Testament, Hebrews does for the New Testament. What Proverbs does for the Old Testament, James does for the New Testament. So there's only one lawgiver, one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? James 4 and 12. So remember, there's two things I want to leave you with, and I really believe I need to leave this with you and say it again. Remember, we are called to encourage, and we're paraclesis, and the Holy Spirit's the paraclete. Here's the difference. He's God, we're not. Like Brother Billy said, I might can cut off his ear, but I can't put it back on. You got to put that ear back on. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But here's what we do. We're called alongside to comfort and encourage one another. And remember, here you say, well, I can't do that. I don't have the talent. Here it is again. The very Spirit of God dwells in you. It's powerful. Who do you think little voices talking in your head, telling you right and wrong and telling you things? It's that Spirit of God dwelling within you. It's not some little angel like you see in cartoons and a little devil. It's the Holy Spirit. And of course, the devil's throwing, using your flesh to talk to you. But again, that the Holy Spirit, he dwells within you. And he wants you to be, he's empowered you to be an extension of his ministry. And number two, if you sit in judgment of someone, and if you exercise a critical spirit, whether it be your, and I believe somebody needs to hear this, whether it be your husband, whether it be your wife, whether it be your children, whether it be your neighbor, whether it be a coworker, if you have a critical spirit with that person, you may actually prevent the very changes that need to take place. But if you encourage them, guess what? The changes will start to happen. Okay. That's right. That's good. That's good. So now, next week we're going to talk about what God's heart is on a critical spirit. But let me ask a question. Anybody got any questions, comments? Let it rip. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Anybody else before we close? Anybody else? Have you learned anything about encouragement tonight? Amen. It was funny because Linda, she's taking New Testament in her college, And of course, she's taking a 16-week semester in 5 weeks. So it's 3.2 weeks worth of work at one time. And so we sit on the couch, and she's in my foray right now, but she's getting ready to go into psychology. So now I'll be sitting on the couch, and she'll be practicing with me. Yeah, now I'm an encourager, but I try to encourage her all I can. But it was funny. Is they said after the first couple chapters of her book, they said, "Well, give us three things you learned about Jesus you didn't know," and she said, "Honey, I'm a student of the Word." She says, "I haven't learned anything different, you know, about Jesus. I mean, this is stuff I already knew. It's kind of like, you know, I'm just going over it again." I said, "Well, think of something." My wife's from Virginia. And she said, "You know what?" She said, "I got it." She said, "I know Jesus is from heaven, of course." She said, "But on earth, he had to be from Virginia." And I said, "How'd she come from Virginia?" He said, "Because she was born from the Virginian Mary." I said, "Well, I want you to put that on your paper." I said, "I want you to put that on your paper." She says, "No, I want to pass my class. I'm not going to put it down there." But we have. If you want to pick on her sometime on Sunday, say, "You know, I heard Jesus was a Virginian. You know, there was this guy that was blew himself up. Thinking that Muhammad had told him he was going to have 70 virgins, and he blew himself up, and he stands on the other side after he has blown himself up, and there's Thomas Jefferson, and there's George Washington, and there's Monroe, and there's Adams." And he says, "Wait a minute. I thought I was going to get 70 virgins." He says, "Oh, you misread that. You're going to meet 70 Virginians." And we're mad. "You're a Virginian too. Oh, all right, Wayne. That's awesome. Well, where are you from in Virginia?" "Chesapeake." "Linda's from Richmond, I think. There's something called Crewe, which is right outside. Yeah, she's from Crewe, Virginia, but also I think it's Richmond. I get mixed up because she'll get talking about all these places, and I have no idea, you know." All right, no more questions. Remember, here's your challenge for the week. Here's your challenge. I got to be careful how I issue challenges because I'm preaching on attitude, and every time I preach on attitude. Something has happened to tear my attitude all to pieces. But praise God, he's holding it together for me. Here it is. I want you to be more conscious of having a critical spirit. And instead of criticizing somebody or their actions, instead of criticizing them, encourage them. Because remember, everybody needs to change a little bit. Don't we? I do. Guess what? I need to change. Yeah, I'm. You know, if you don't think I need to change, ask my wife. Somebody asked me, said, "Who preaches to the preacher?" I said, "That's why they've got wives." I mean, I'm Brother David here. When I get home, it's not Brother David. Okay, it's David. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Amen. Well, she's not bad. She's a good woman. I love her very dearly. Okay, so I want you to encourage. Try this now. Instead of criticizing, encourage and see if you don't see a difference. And sometimes it's hard to do. It's very hard to do. But try encouraging versus criticizing and see the difference it makes. I was walking with Bethany in Walmart this morning because she went and got her job back and was talking later on how to get her job back. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. Amen. We're called to encourage each other, called to help out each other. That's right. Amen. We're to help out each other. Well, Bethany this morning, I had her with me, and this lady that I know, been knowing her for several years, her son was a deputy while my son was a deputy, and we keep crossing paths, and she was an EMT while I was an EMT, blah, blah, blah. Well, she was walking in Walmart this morning, and we had just left the Dollar Tree to get her job back, and we're walking in to pick up some stuff to carry back to the house, and as we're walking through this woman, I see this woman, and she got this, about a, I don't know, 13, 14-year-old girl with her, and she turns around, and she looks at me, that woman does, and she says, "Pray for me." I saw the face, and I said, "Okay," and she looks behind her, and she says, "She's out of school for a week." I said, "That doesn't sound good," but I didn't say anything. And she said, "Again, please pray for me and pray for her." And I said, "I sure will. God's in control. God's got it all together." And I said, "And while you're busy praying for you that, there's somebody standing behind me who could use your prayers too." Bethany was behind me. But again, encourage, encourage. Because beating them up is not going to help. Beating up's never helped. Encourage. You can do it. That's right. You can do it. You can do it. You can do this. So, let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and mercy. Help us, Lord, to accept that challenge this week to encourage one another. And even in the worst of situations, help us to encourage, Lord, because we realize that a critical spirit does not help. A critical spirit, all it does is cause problems. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, to help us to be encouragers. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, and the Holy Spirit is an encourager. And I ask you right now, Father, to help us lean on the Holy Spirit and let Him help us to be encouragers to other people this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. And amen. Yeah, God's awesome. All the time.